you open it there on purpose? That's a good song. I thought it'd be right. There's a peace in my heart that the world never gave. A peace it cannot take away. Though the trials of life may surround like a cloud, I've a peace that has come here to stay. Constantly, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leave me lonely, whispers oh so fine. I will never leave thee, Jesus is mine. This treasure I have in a temple of clay, while here on his footstool I roam. But he's coming to take me some glorious day over there to my heavenly home. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leave me lonely, whispers oh so fine. I will never leave thee, Jesus is mine. I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, and time won't matter anymore. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, I'm looking now across the river to where my faith shall end inside. There's just a few more days to labor, and I will take my heavenly flight. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land. Amen. No, don't do that. Amen. Good enough.
All you have is such a pretty voice. I said, well, praise the Lord. Lord gave it. Well, I know, but you have. I said, praise the Lord. Lord gave it. Well, yes, but it, I said, praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, I'm scared, you know. I'm scared about that. I have something. Oh, there it is. I let men praise me, and it cost me about 15 years of my life. I'm just a little scared of that. So, you know, bear with me if I get unbearable. Amen. Had a good time with the young people this morning, and a little girl got saved. And I don't know what happened to another little girl, but God sure got all over her, and I don't know what all that was. Praise the Lord. Well, now that I sang about heaven, I'd like to preach to you about hell. I mean, that's the only thing I know to do. Just give them hell. That's what I tell them. Now, I got my vest on, and you're lucky it's on. I had it all off here while I was preaching. I'll have it off in a minute. I can't stand this stuff. I know that ties and three-piece suits are of the devil. I know it is. And that's my pretext, and just as soon as I find the proof for that, I'll let you know. Well, I know it is. It's got to be some way. Turn to Luke chapter 16. I was just in 15 with the kids. I'd like to preach the message I preach them because, we're going to be having a camp here in a couple of weeks, Brother Gip and I, and that'll be interesting because when Sam and I get together, it Ephesians 5:4 gets cut out of the book and thrown out. Foolish speaking and jesting, it just goes. I try to do right, but every time I get around Brother Gip, it's his fault. I want you to understand that. And we just have a hard time. But you know one thing, I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't like camps. I don't like anything, George, so you know. A guy was preaching one time about being a martyr, and this is good, it's a message, you know. He's preaching about being a martyr, what it took to be a martyr. Brother McCray, you've had him here. He's another one of those sweet preachers. And I don't like to sit when Brother McCray preaches. I don't know. He always gets me. But his third point of the message was a martyr. To be a martyr, in order to be a martyr, you have to be against everything. That's what Antipas means, against everything. And my wife, right in the middle of the message, blurted out, says, "Honey, you got it made." And I thanked her for the word of testimony. But the one thing about camps, I don't like them. I know they do some good. But, you know, it's awful hard to go preach at young kids all week long and try to get them to get their lives cleaned up and get right, get saved, and get right with God. And then you know you're going to send them back to homes where the parents aren't right with God and the parents' lives aren't cleaned up and the poor kids haven't got a chance. They haven't got a chance. I always see that. I've been that way all my life. I always look at the dark side because the dark side's there. And they just don't have a chance. So we're going to try to... I just start preaching to kids, and sometimes maybe it didn't write, I don't know, but sometimes I just tell them, I say, now look, you obey your parents, but don't do what they do. Amen. Amen. Some of your parents don't like that because you know that's the truth. Luke 16, verse 19, would you stand, please, while I read the Word of God? Very familiar passage. Nothing new. I don't have anything new. There have been too many old war horses and preachers of God around this week and around the years before I come along. I just don't have nothing new. All I got is something from God. Luke 16, 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. Now you put that on a JW and he'll take you to Matthew 13 and pull the scripture out of context and say it's a parable. And when he does that to me, I said, so what? I don't believe it's a parable because Jesus said there was a certain rich man. And God's not a liar and Jesus Christ is God, so if there was, there was. But if it was a parable, what difference would that make? I mean, if you go by their definition, I don't have time, I'll waste time, so I don't want to waste it. If you go by their definition, a parable teaches some great spiritual truth. So if it was a parable, hell'd be a lot hotter than it says it is here. So I don't really care one way or the other. There was a certain rich man clothed in purple fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate, full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Be a good passage to preach right there. That's going to be some trip, isn't it? And the rich man also died and was buried. You notice the beggar evidently wasn't buried. Amen. Amen. Bible says, appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. I fulfilled that verse already. Amen. When I got saved, I was put into the death of Jesus Christ. I done fulfilled it. I don't worry about death. I'm going through the shadow. Must be a light above me somewhere. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. I'll get on heaven yet. Amen. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I told the young kids this morning, I said, you get to hell and you'll never be satisfied in hell, and you'd be surprised what it'd take to satisfy you. He didn't ask for a glass of water. He didn't ask for a glass of ice water. He just said one drop would take care of it. Well, you got to be in pretty bad shape if what will satisfy you is a drop of water. It'll be pretty bad shape. And beside all this, he said, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil thing, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. As an old song we used to sing in the world called, There'll Be Some Changes Made. I'll tell you, when you get into eternity, things are a little upside down. Things are different. Things are some changes. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege to call you my Father, my God, and my Lord. Lord, I count it, Father, a privilege and also an awesome task to me, Lord. I still don't understand, Father, why you have me where you have me. But, oh God, I pray that you'd help me this morning to speak clearly and plainly. And, God, I pray that if there's one here this morning that is facing the fires of hell, young or old, Father, rich or poor, I pray, God, you'd impress upon their hearts the fact of hell, a real hell, a real place where people go, Father, and spend eternity separated from thy love and peace. And, oh God, I pray this morning that Jesus Christ somehow would be exalted in this message. And God, that I would be placed behind him, not just behind a wooden cross in a pulpit, but behind my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now I pray, God, you'd open the hearts of your people, Father, to be more responsive to souls dying and on their way to hell. Now, God, I pray that the words that go forth will go forth in the might and power of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. They'd not be the words of man's wisdom, but they'd be thy words. Now I pray as Michael the prophet, Father, that I would be full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and not by mine own spirit, for it's by thy Spirit, saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hell, not necessarily a pretty subject to talk about, but when I read the Bible, I've heard men say that it was the favorite subject of the Lord. I don't know that it was the favorite subject. I don't know that it was his favorite subject to preach on, but I do know that he preached on it more than he did anything else. That doesn't mean it was his favorite subject. He was a man of sorrows, and he was full of compassion. Maybe it wasn't his favorite thing to preach about, but I do know this. I know he preached about it more than anything else. I find there's about three things missing out of pulpits and even in Bible-believing churches. I find there's three things missing from the pulpits. One is good old-fashioned sermons on hell. Another is good old-fashioned sermons on heaven. And another is good old-fashioned sermons on the blood. Of those three, maybe they preach on the blood quite a bit. But you know, it's easy, even as a Bible believer, to try to put hell out of your mind. That's why people live like they live. That's why they have no burden for lost souls. That's why they don't win souls. That's why they don't witness. That's why they're scared to speak up for God in a crowd, because they've lost that burden. They've lost it. But I want to, somebody read this morning in the young people some kind of a poll they took out of somewhere, and 83% of the people believed in hell, and 17%, the other 17% were lying to you, as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting there. I'd like to prove to you, if I can, using your own words, that there's a hell. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 12, and let's look at something, and then we'll go on with the message. You know that there's a hell in this country just by looking around. People know there's a hell. I look in the eyes of that JW. I ran into one in downtown Boston. Boy, if you want to get close to hell, that's a good place to go. I was over there with Brother Clyde Smith last week or 2 weeks ago. I don't know when. And we're over there preaching, and he's in Dorchester. Dorchester is right. That's it. That's it, Boston. That's right there. They don't pay attention to stoplights and stop signs and nothing. I got one place called Five Corners, and after 2 days, I lived in L.A. for 13 years, so, you know, it took me 2 days to get reoriented where I was, but after 2 days, when I hit that Five Corners, it was just, God, here we go, boom, because, you know, they're coming this way, and this way, and this way, and this way, and it's just every man for himself. And a couple, three times, I got stuck there with one car like this and another car like this, and she was going straight, and he was making a left turn, and I was making a right turn, and here comes another one like this, and we're just all sitting there. But that's kind of hell. We got down there, and there was a JW standing outside. We were passing out tracts and witnessing, inviting people to meeting, and there's a JW standing out there holding up these watchtowers, and he's holding them up like this, you know, just, I don't know, like a billboard or a robot or something just like this. And I probably wasn't right, and I had to repent later, but it was kind of boring. It was getting kind of boring out there, passing out tracts. Nobody wanted to talk about the Lord and this and that, so I just wanted to have a little fun. And so I went over there, and I tried to grab the thing out of his hand, and I went over there, and I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you one of mine, you give me yours. And I tried to grab it, he wouldn't let me have it. He held on to it like that, and he said, just 15 cents. I said, the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not, lest thou be the truth. Amen. 15 cents must not be the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. I said, you must not have the truth. Then we began to talk, and I put that one Brother Ertis gave me, and he had an answer before it, Brother, anyway. I took him 1 Samuel, whatever it was, where it says Elhanan killed Goliath. And I didn't feel like messing with him, and he told me, he said, well, don't you know there was 5 Goliaths? And I know the answer, but who wants to mess with them all your life? And I said, where's your Bible? It's down my briefcase. I said, you mean you think more of that material there than you do your Bible? Well, no. I said, well, then how come the paper isn't in the briefcase and the Bible isn't out here? I get tired of him. I left him. You know, I told him he's going to go to hell, but he don't care. He thinks that's just dirt. But, you know, he don't really believe that. He doesn't really believe that. He knows there's a hell. He's trying to get away from it. People always try and get away from hell. I'll tell you in a little while what the inspiration for this message was. In Matthew 12, if you'd look at Matthew 12, verse 35. Matthew 12, 35. Good passage of Scripture. I say that about every passage of Scripture. except the ones that hit my sin, they're not good passages. Matthew 12, 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's quite a passage. I got thinking about that, and I said, God, you called me to preach, and I'm fairly long-winded, not too bad. And I preach sometimes kind of long. I said, every word, huh? Yeah, every idle word. Well, okay. And by your words, right? So I got a computer, and I sat down, and I figured something out. And I said, okay. I went through my sermon box and file, and I figured out how many times I'd preach, as best as I could. I don't keep a record always. I figured out best I could how many times I preached in, I guess it was 2 years at that time. And I got down and I figured out how long my average sermon was. So I put down there half hour, average sermon, half hour. Anyway, I put down the length of my average sermon. And I multiplied that after going through a tape recorder, doing the best I could, finding out how fast I talk normally. Now, sometimes in a sermon, I go real slow, and sometimes it's flickety-split. So I try to take an average. And I found out that after 2 years of preaching, that I spoke in excess of 6.5 million words. Boy, I don't know about you, brother. That's a judgment seat of Christ. That's a lot of words. That's a lot of words. So I've been trying lately to don't talk much when I'm not preaching. I mean, I've got to cut down somewhere. Amen. But what that passage says is, by your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. And every man and woman, at least in this country, I don't know about any other country, but at least in this country, I don't think there's a man or woman, there might be an exception somewhere, but the majority, I don't believe there's men or woman or a boy or girl that doesn't know there's a hell. Why? Because I hear it out of them day in and day out. I mean, some guys stand before God and he says, well, God, I didn't really believe it. I don't believe the Bible. I didn't believe there's a hell. And the Lord shows the screen, and there's a guy when he's putting up shingles and hitting his thumb with the hammer. You know what he said? By your words, you're justified. You know what happens when a man bows down the knee, and more importantly, the heart, and says, Lord, I'm an old, dirty, filthy sinner on my way to hell, and I want Jesus Christ to save me. He's justified. By his word, you shall call us by the blood. It is by the blood. But with the mouth and with the heart, he called on God. Amen. You're justified and you're condemned by this thing right here. I call this message, oh hell. Now you're going to hear a lot this morning, and some of you are not going to like it. But don't get mad at me. Before you judge me, don't get mad at me. Because I happen to know that you sit at home and hear a lot worse than you're going to hear out of me. Amen. From the pulpit. It's, oh, you shouldn't say those words in the pulpit. Why not? It's wood. I do believe it'll burn. Amen? Maybe I just react and go backwards, but you know, I see these preachers, don't run up there. Don't get behind that pulpit. You know, little kids and stuff. Why? I don't want them to worship this. Amen. I don't worship that. I don't want them to worship the man of God either. Whoever that is. I want them to worship God. Amen. What is this stuff, see? And people have a funny idea. Why don't you go ahead and bring your record player? I'll get there in a minute, but I'm just trying to destroy some things here for you. You should be able to think straight. Why don't you bring your record player in here and put it down here at the altar, while people at the altar, and bring it here and put on the music you listen to while you're at home. What's the difference? Tell me. There's no difference. You walk out this door, God doesn't stay here. He might not have come in. People have a real funny idea. I love the brother, and I've already talked to him, told him, but I love the brother. The guy says, well, I believe, you know, you ought to come to church dressed in a tie and a coat and all that. I don't believe that. 80% of the places I preach, the people come in overalls, jeans, shirts, they come without ties. Hey, it isn't what you got on. Amen. Bible said, rend your heart, not your garment. I mean, I believe you ought to be covered. I understand that. But I'll just take it further than you want me to, but I'm going to take it there anyway. I mean, what? I just don't understand. If it's wrong, see, Let's take it. If it's wrong, say, for a woman to come in here, or a man, and be wearing shorts in the church service, what's the difference? I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm not preaching that today. I'm just saying, if it is, what's the difference? You tell me. No difference. Some of you have been messing around with stuff at home that you wouldn't bring in here, huh? That's why it's quiet. So before you judge what I'm going to say, just get the 2x4 out of your own eyeball. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, hell. You know hell's right. You know it's a real place. You know it is. People say, I don't believe in hell. Sure you do. First point of the message is sure as hell. You ever hear anybody say that? How many ever heard anybody say sure as hell? Raise your hand. People believe in hell. I'm not going to ask you if you said it. I just want to know how many ever heard anybody say it. Sure as hell. People know there's a hell. People spend their life trying to run from hell.
As sure as I'm standing here this morning, there's a hell, and some of you young ones in here are going to burn and burn forever in hell. Some of you old ones going to die and go to hell. And you know there's a hell, and you'll never be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know. Even if you never had a Bible or heard a sermon, God will play it back. You knew it. It's on the lips. Sure as hell. I was preaching on the streets in California, a little 13-year-old snot come up to me and he said, I don't believe in hell. I said, it won't get you out when you get there. When I think they're big, I don't believe in hell. Who cares? Listen, I could get up in the morning and get real charismatic on you and say, I don't believe I have to have braces to walk. You know what happened when I got out of bed and stood up? Well, I wouldn't stand. You know what happened if I tried to stand up? Stood up, boom. I gotta have it. Now I know I don't have enough faith, all that kind of stuff. That's another thing. But I gotta have it. There's a hell. There's a hell. You know it. Sure as hell. Moody said one time, he said, don't let the scoffers laugh you into hell. They can't laugh you out. You boys sitting back in there, you young ones sit back there, your friends laugh and laugh and laugh, you'll be burning in hell. They won't be laughing. They can't laugh you out. God will be laughing. God will be laughing. Calamity comes, God will laugh. They say he'll weep as he sends them to hell. I don't think so. I think he'll laugh. I think my God will laugh. Talked to a boy behind a man, old grown man, crippled man behind a mission in California, and I'd just gone in there to preach that Sunday morning, and not 6 hours before we walked in the doors to preach at that Los Angeles mission, there was three men murdered right outside the door. Knife in the back, a bottle, guy got a stroke, cut the bottle, and I don't know how the other one went. Rough place. We went in there, and I walked out the back, get in the truck, and there's this old drunk laying there. No vomit and spittle and stinking and unshaven and just laying there with his crutch. He's laying back there, you know. And I walked up to him, leaned over, and I've been there. Sometimes I just don't know what to say. And I looked at him. I said, sir, you need to get saved. You need to trust Jesus Christ. You're saved, or something like that. I said, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell. He said, this is hell here. I said, I know it's bad. I know you think it's hell here, but this isn't hell. He said, what do you know about it? You ever had a knife in your back? I never had a knife in my back. I rolled over in my own vomit. I've gotten up stinking, filthy, and dirty, grabbed for the bottle again. I know a little bit. And I just told him, I said, this is the best you're ever going to get. If you die, it's going to be worse. He knows there's a hell. There's a real hell. What's wrong with Christians? So much television, newspapers, and magazines, they forgot about hell. We're out there, Brother Harry Jackson got him preaching on the street there, little old Joe Fumia. Got a little Joe out there, he's preaching. Got away on there, Joe and I walked up this little old truck, and there's a bunch of teenagers there. We began to pass out tracts, talk to them about the Lord. You know what they did? They reached inside, turned on their tape player, and put on the song of that time, Highway to Hell. They know there's a hell. And there's something about a destructive force in man that makes him want to go there for some strange reason. I can never figure that out. I saw a newspaper ad one time where they were advertising Camels, and when you look real carefully on the cigarette pack, instead of saying at that little tab there, Camels, it said cancer. It was a suggestive thing in the mind. Why? Man just wants to kill himself or something. For some unknown reason, he just wants to kill himself. So now they come out with songs about hell, and really some of the rock songs portray it pretty good. Why? It's a self-destruct button in them young people that just gets pushed. That's what they want. It's a mess. I don't understand that. I've been trying to understand it. I can't understand it. Trying to understand it. But sure as hell, there's a hell. Sure as hell. Sure as hell, there's a hell. You say, what else? Well, did you ever hear anybody use this phrase? Who the hell you think you are?
Who the hell you think you are? See, some of you already mad, already shocked. The last time you heard this kind of talk was out of your 12-year-old boy, who got it from his 40-year-old mother. Thank you, amen. Sure as hell, who the hell you think you are? You know something? Look at the passage in Luke. Turn to Luke. And I'm just going to give you a minute. And I'm not rich, except in Jesus Christ. And I'm rich to the point that I never knew there was a depression. I mean, God always gets us where we got to go, food in our belly. I don't need any more than that. I don't even need to get where I got to go. I just got to get where God wants me to go. Look in the passage. I don't know how much I got on me, but I'll give you everything I got on me if you can find the name of the rich man. Might as well not look because it isn't there. I wouldn't tell you that if it was there. It isn't there. The name of the rich man is not there. You know, when I read that, I remember back in Job or Proverbs, I believe it's in Job, where Job says, the name of the wicked shall be cut off. The name. One of the wars in the Civil War, I forget which one was, one of the battles, they had those guys from Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Ohio, New York, and they were preparing to go to battle. And as they were preparing to go to battle, they were all sewing their names on their sleeves. One of the commanders come by and said, what are you doing? I said, well, we know we're getting ready to go into battle here, and when we get killed, we want people to know where we died and how we died, what we died for, and who we were. Nobody wants to lose their identity. Do you know what you lose? You know what you are in this life when you lose your identity? You're wacko. You are. You're crazy. They put you on a funny farm. You don't know who you are. Nobody wants to lose their identity. Yet I read this fellow's in hell. He hasn't got a name. No name. No name in hell. Who the hell do you think you are? Nobody. I don't know how long Hitler's been in hell, but he ain't nobody down there. He wielded a tongue, boy, and moved the nation and caused a lot of hell and death up here, but he's nobody down there. I know to the young kids, John Lennon was somebody. When he got to hell, he didn't get any special room. Well, he might have got a special room, but it wasn't what he ordered. John Lennon's burning in hell. John Lennon was a fornicating dope head. A communistic slob. You heard Dr. Ruckman say it, whenever I teach on music in the camps or in the Christian schools or somewhere, I quote that quote because you need to know what John Lennon said about your Savior. He wrote his book. He said he's a dirty, yellow, stinking, a fascist, Spaniard, bastard Catholic. I don't know why he didn't get killed sooner. He's burning in hell. Got down there and said, where'd I plug in my guitar? The devil said, who the hell are you? But you don't understand, I fared sumptuously. I was clothed in fine linen. Well, I was the mayor. How was it? Oh, who the hell are you? Nobody. Listen, when I get to heaven, the beggar's name's mentioned. Rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich, and Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he was poor. They teach you, you know, little schools in Southern Baptist, everybody else, they teach you now, honey, if you're a good little boy, God takes you to heaven. And if you're a bad little boy, you go to hell. That's not right. I know a lot of bad little boys going to heaven. You're looking at one. I know some good little boys going to wind up in heaven. I know some good boys that are a lot gooder than any of us are good going to be in heaven. What's your name? Well, all I know is in Psalm 87, it says the Lord shall count when he riseth up the people that this man was born there, and that man was born there, this man there, and that man there. Does God know when you were born? Does he know when you were born again? Does he know where? Never mind, do you know? Does God know? Lord, come on there. Lazarus said, today salvation come to your house. I mean, not Lazarus, Zacchaeus. God knows when I was born again.
God got his own count. We count them. 1,100, 500, 600, 450 offering. But I'll tell you something, when the record books are reconciled with God, there'll be a lot of names not there. Maybe out of the 30,000 up there in Hammond, Indiana, maybe out of the 30,000, maybe there's only 2,000. Maybe out of your 1,300 here, 2,000 here, maybe there's only 500. I don't know. I'm not saying so, I just don't know. But all I know is that I have got a name. And if I'm called by no other name than Jesus Christ when I get to glory, hey, what better name you going to get than that? I like that song. There's a new name written down in glory. Mine is mine. I got one written down in glory. I don't know what it is. Probably not wreck, you know, words that end in X and all that gas. Probably not wreck. I don't know what it is. Don't know what it is. But I got a name. I got an identity. I sure do. I got an identity. Oh, you get down to hell, no names in hell. No names in hell. You know what the Bible says about that? Bible said you want a name in hell. I guess there's a list. I don't know if you call it name. The Bible said in Revelation 21:8, the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, unjust, and dogs. What a name. What a name. How about that? Belushi gets down to hell. All right, you dog, go here. Lennon, to hell, fearful, over here. Elvis Presley, hell, whoremonger, over here. Say, is he in hell? I don't know. It's a good bet. I read a lot, everything could, never could find a testimony out of it. You know, I mean, out of his own mouth. I'm not talking about his wife, forget that, but I'm talking about out of his mouth. People get mad when you say, you know, he's a god. I've had little 80-year-old women just want to hit me over the head with a purse because I said something about Elvis Presley. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. He's the same crowd. I can't think up any new words. He's a fornicating dopehead. He's the same crowd. Same crowd. He damned your kids. He damned more kids in this country than anybody else. Sure did. I'll tell you somebody else. I see the bumper sticker all over the country. But when you read all the stuff that was put out on him, if the guy did what he said he did, what they said he did, if he did what they said he did when he died, he's in hell. And yet all over this country, on the back of the pickup trucks and the rednecks, it's God bless John Wayne. If he did what he said he did, he's in hell. Where he is. You know what? You know what I think the greatest tragedy in this country, or I don't know, greatest, one of the greatest tragedies, is the fact that all across this country, all across this nation, there are red-blooded Americans who hate communism, who hate all that kind of stuff, and who fought in world wars and gave their life for their country, and they're going to go to hell with Jane Fonda. What a tragedy! What a tragedy! There are guys who fought in World War II against Hitler's forces, and if they shake hands with anybody, it'll be Hitler in hell. Think about that. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Who the hell you think you are? Listen, they buried that rich man. They came in there, and they had flowers and wreaths, and they had just all, I mean, flowers. So if you had hay fever, you couldn't have gone within a mile of that place. All over the place. They buried him there in his fine robes and his fine linen, but he woke up the dead and in hell. Yeah. Where he woke up. So what about Lazarus? I don't know how he went, except all I know is there's a couple angels come down and carried him home. Amen. Oh, like that song, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. I like that. I don't know the scripture, but I like it. They're going to come and take me home. People cry, people weep. Well, I told my wife, I said, you just take my body to the Mojave Desert in California, throw it out behind some rock. Don't waste no money burying this thing. So the law won't let her. Well, if she can get away with it, I told her to. Don't waste no money on this. Why? The only benefit out of a funeral is that somebody will get up and just preach a hellfire and damnation out of you and people get saved. Amen. That's the only thing I can see for having a funeral. You know that? Amen. The only reason I can see. People always put flowers and flowers and flowers. You know what? If the Lord tarried or something happens, I die before Jesus Christ comes back and they have a funeral for me, I don't want no flowers. I can't stand them anyway. I don't want any flowers. People just take the money and find some good missionary trying to get the... Nobody. I don't care who you are here. I don't care who you are and what you've done and how you've lived and how much money you've got. You're nobody. Nobody. Go to hell. How about this one? Let's try this. Verse 24. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. He may dip a tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in the flame. What in the hell are you doing? How many ever heard anybody say that? What the hell are you doing? Huh? I'm not dumb. You heard, right? How many of you ever said that? You brave souls, honest people. I'm not going to ask you how many said it after you're saved. But what the hell are you doing? We read the Bible sometimes. You know, my daughter, I hope she's not in here. She has a hard enough time with pride. I don't guess she is. My daughter, you know what I appreciate about her? She's not raised on television. And there's something about somebody not raised on television. You know what it does? When you open up a book, the book becomes vivid. She will come in and tell my wife and I sometimes, she'll be cracking up in the middle of the book or crying or something. I mean, and she'll come in and she'll stop there and she'll want to tell us what's going on. And it isn't like, well, the boy was standing here and he grabbed his arm and he threw him over on the floor. A little kid, one of them, some big kid with this little kid, said, I bet you couldn't throw me down. And the little kid grabbed his arm. It isn't like that. She comes in there and she says, and he was standing here, and then the little kid was standing over here, and the big kid's looking down, and he said, you know that? And he said, the little kid grabbed his arm. And he said, what? Where'd she get all that? Where'd you get all that? You know why some of you don't get anything out of the Bible? Because your imagination's been defiled. You've been watching the wrong stuff. And the words aren't allowed. I got news for you. It wasn't some requisition typed out and handed up. Said, now, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. Got down there and he said, Father Abraham! That's what it was. Yeah, you laugh, boy. You won't laugh when you're burned. Say Lazarus! What a word. They're screaming and weeping and wailing in hell. What the hell are you doing? You're down there gnashing and moaning and groaning and crying out. I'll tell you something else. You're wishing you could come back and rectify some things. There's some kids been sent to hell by mamas and dads who are in hell now. I wish they could get up and warn the kids. The hell are you doing? You're crying out. It's a place of pain and torment. I picked up a magazine the other day. See, this stuff don't mean nothing. Some of you people that are older and been saved a while and you're trying to stay right with God, sometimes this message means something to you. But you want to mean much of them kids? I picked up a magazine. It's all a magazine about these torture movies, and I just thumbed through it and how, you know, they're doing this and how they get the blood effects and killing this one and some kind of a thing coming down through some lady's stomach, you know, there, some punching out her stomach, you know, and the blood and guts and everything. They see all that. It don't mean nothing to them anymore. It's going to be torture in hell. They don't care. They get their kicks looking at that kind of stuff. You talk about perversion. It isn't all in San Francisco. It's in Dallas. It's among your young people. Inside that old heart and mind, they have a perverted sense of what torture and punishment is. You got a sadistic nation. Sadistic. They're going to be weeping and crying. Them fellas that got thrown in hell back there in number 16, you know what they're doing now? Same thing they're doing when they got thrown in. They're weeping and wailing, gnashing teeth.
Not a pretty subject to preach about, is it? You'd think of coming here and all the white paint, you know, on the rugs and the chandeliers, and you wouldn't think hell's not a pretty, very pretty. You ought to be preached somewhere else. I'll be preached here. I'll turn off the air conditioner and put on a furnace. What in the hell are you doing? That's what you're doing in hell. How about this one? This is how I got the message. I was out camping. I like to go camping. I was out camping with my wife in California. And we were out fishing June Lake, California, about 9,000 feet up above sea level. And one night, this guy pulled in with his buddy, and they had a little tent there, and they put up their little pup tent. And about 10 o'clock at night, I heard this guy run around the campground. Hey, John, where the hell are you? John, where the hell are you? Where the hell are you? Now, I know you've never said that. You never heard it. And I sit there and I said, my God, that guy dies and goes to hell. That's just exactly what he'll be doing. Out of the dark. They go around to people and you say, you're going to die and go to hell. When I get to hell, I shake hands on my friends. Yeah. Oh, no. You get out of hell and say, hey, where are you? Where the hell are you? I'm with you. You got no friends in hell. A friend? You get out of hell, you're going to shake hands with a friend? A friend who led you to hell? That's a friend? You're going to get down there weeping well and burn, and you're going to shake hands with them? You might gnash on them a while. Shake hands? Don't think so.
Where the hell are you? Well, you're in outer darkness, like a black light or a black hole. I'll tell you where you are. Tell you exactly where you are. You ever go to a party that you weren't invited to? You ever go somewhere where you just, as soon as you got there, you knew you didn't belong there? You fell out of place? That's the weirdest feeling, isn't it? Sometimes I get in a mess. I'll get some places where I just, what am I doing here? That's what hell's like. Bible said it's prepared for the devil and his angels. Bible said God not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what? You'll be out of place in hell. You'll be at a party you weren't invited to. You'll be in a place you didn't need to go. Where the hell are you? I'll tell you where you'll be. You'll be down there, eternally separated from God. I want to qualify that. People say, you go to hell, you'll be separated from God. Well, I'm not real sure about that. I know you'll be separated from his love, and his joy, and his peace, and his mercy, and his grace. The Bible says our God is consuming fire. And somehow that fire is connected with the holiness of God. And I don't believe you'd be separated from God's wrath. As John 3:36 says, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you're under the wrath of God. So you won't entirely be separated from God, just all those good qualities of God that you always wanted to believe in while you were here on the earth. But you'll be in the presence of a holy, vengeful, wrathful, sinless, perfect God. With that fire, you'll be burned. You'll be out of place. You'll be out of place. Nobody wants to go where they're not wanted. You say, well, the devil wants them in hell. Yeah, but they're not wanted. They're not wanted. Look at verse 22. Came to pass. The beggar died. Bottom of the verse. The rich man also died. So when the hell are you going to do it? That's what some of you women keep thinking about your husband and wanting to fix the washer, right? You ask him for 2 or 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden, in that mind, when the hell is he going to fix that thing? I know you love the Lord and pious and all that kind of stuff. I know that. But you think that. And you've heard it sometimes, haven't you? I've heard people say that. Well, when the hell are you going to do it? Well, I don't know when.
That rich man didn't come in every day, you know, pass that beggar lying at the gate, maybe trying to give him a little pack or something. He didn't come in and drop off some crumbs from last night and feed the beggar. He didn't come in there and walk by there, look at his calendar and say, August the 8th, I'm going to die. I got to remember that. I'm going to die August the 8th. Something like that. I stood in a graveyard. I stood there and read a graveyard up in some little place you get lost up there in Pennsylvania. Some guy got in the church out there in the country. I don't know how you get to it or how you get away from it, but God got me there and got me out of there. And you get in there, and the church is right in the middle of a graveyard, which is okay because most graveyards are right in the middle of the church. You understand what I'm saying? And I looked there, and there's this one. So-and-so, born October 1st, 1922, died October 2nd, 1922. Isn't it great like that? How many of you been there? Isn't it great like this? Some of you 12, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 year old got a whole life ahead of you, don't you? No, they make great for you too.
Amen.
Some of you 60, 65, and 70, you're under an illusion. They're going to live forever. They make graves for you, sure. They make them all sizes. I don't know when you're going to die. You say you're trying to scare us? Good. Now you're getting the message. Oh, you got to love them, love them. I'll try to scare as many in as I can. There's enough people loving them in. I'm just trying to scare them. It's because there's no fear of God for their eyes, Romans chapter 3 says. What's wrong with some of you? You never met up with God. You meet up with God, it changes your attitude a little bit. Don't meet up with him in the wrong place. I don't know when you're going to die. But some of you may walk out of here 12 and 13 and 14 years old and meet death's door tonight or tomorrow or next week. Or you may die in 5 minutes. I don't know when you're going to die. I got news for you. You may know everything else. You don't know when you're going to die. Appointed unto man wants to die. After that, the judgment. You have no idea. You know, I'd take care of the thing if I was you. Take care of it. Years ago, there's a preacher named Monk Parker was preaching down in a meeting. And he got preaching to that meeting, and the boy's father was down praying for his wayward boy, about 17, 18 years old. And Monk ran up and met with that kid in a drugstore one time. The kid kind of accidentally bumped him trying to pick a fight. And they got a conversation going, and Parker said, I know you. He said, your daddy's been down praying for you every night. Why don't you just say, why don't you trust Christ now? He said, why don't you sit down here over in the booth and why don't you trust Christ? And go on. Well, you need to trust Christ. Well, I'll come to a meeting. Won't you come tonight? Yeah, I'll come to a meeting. My partner left and came back in. He stopped the boy again and said, wait, why don't you trust Jesus Christ now? See, you might not come. That's weird. Think I'm alive? You want to step outside, take that Christianity you've got off for 5 minutes and step outside? And Parker said, I ain't got the kind of Christianity you can take off for 5 minutes. That's a kind of deal. He left that boy, and the boy wouldn't get saved. And about an hour and a half later, Parker was called to a hotel across the street. And there laying on a brass four-poster bed was that old boy mangled and torn and dying. He walked out on the street, and a truck hit him. Parker leaned over, and he said, down in his ear, and he said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Trust Christ. That guy went out to the devil's hell in eternity cussing Parker, God, and Jesus Christ. You don't know when you're going to go. No, no, no. But you're going. You're going. You're going to die. You're going to die. Look at verse 24. He cried and said, Father Abraham. Verse 25. Abraham said, Son. That leads me to the next one. The next saying I hear across this country, that how the hell are you going to get there? How the hell are you going to get there? Well, he looked up and he said, Father Abraham. And Abraham said, Son. So we know that he was a covenant child. You know how you can get there? I'll tell you how to get there. Grow up in church. That's a good way to go to hell. That's a good way. A lot of good ways. Live a clean, moral life. Keep your nose out of everybody else's business. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Except once a year on income tax and then whatever else, you know. That's a good way to go to hell. You go to hell like that. Brother Harrison, I wouldn't be like one of them whores down on the street. Well, you can go to hell not being a whore. That's a good way to go. I never touch a drop. You don't have to drink. You can go to hell without drinking. It's easy. It's easy. I'm not going to put no needle in my arm. I ain't popping no pills. Fine, you can go to hell like that. That's a good way. You'll go to hell clean. I mean, that's a good way to go. How the hell are you going to get there? All kinds of ways. You can come in here in this church. You can get baptized, catechized, sprinkled, confirmed, take communion, and die and go to hell. You can raise your kids right, be faithful to your wife, faithful to your husband, and go to hell. Hell will be full of good, moral, upright people. Full of. Go to hell. You can be a Baptist. That's a real good way to go to hell, be a Baptist. Be a Baptist. I don't know how you're going to go, but those are some ways to go. I mean, you don't have to run drink, run your life. You don't have to be a dope head, a harlot, a drunkard, and all that. You don't have to do all that. You can go to hell without doing that. I don't know how you're going to get there. Danger with kids growing up in church people is sometimes the parents get lax, and they figure, well, because they get preached at week after week, day after day, and they go to Sunday school, and they do this and that, and they're in church, and they're singing in the choir, and they're singing here, and they're doing this, and people just let their kids just slip right on out into eternity, going to hell, doing good works. Watch for your soul. Watch. Watch. He said, Son, remember. Boy, I pulled some boners in my life. I sat back and I looked out and said, what in the hell did I do that? Why in the hell did I do that?
I'm glad the Bible says I get to heaven, that the former things be remembered no more. That is a blessing. I got some things God's forgotten, but I have a hard time with them. But boy, I get the glory of this. I grew up on science fiction, you know, I grew up on that stuff, and so sometimes I get the Bible's an intriguing book to me because it's so far ahead of all the science fiction I grew up on, but sometimes I see the stuff in there, and I remember, you know, growing up these things where they take them out to their UFOs, and they play them on the operating table, and they, you know, pick their brains, all that kind of stuff, and then the last thing they do, they something come over and pass over like that, and they blank out all their memory, and then they go back down, never knew what happened. That's going to be good. Some of you can't appreciate that. I appreciate it. I appreciate the Lord doing that for me. I'm glad the Lord's going to do that. I have a hard time living with Christians. I have a hard time living with people. But the hardest one I have trouble living with is me. I don't like it. That's why I have a hard time living with everybody else, because I don't like them. But you know something? God don't pass it away. But in hell, you remember. You get out and burn in hell, you're going to remember shutting up, standing up on crutches, warning you about hell. You'll remember. You remember some sweet little girl on the street handing you a tract and saying, here, you need to trust Jesus Christ. You remember that. You remember all the opportunities and times when the Holy Spirit came and nudged you and poked you and talked to you. I said, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. I need to get saved. I need to. I wish you'd shut up. An invitation. I got to get saved. I need to get saved. You remember that. And you remember that voice that came along there and said, well, later. You can get saved later. Don't do it now. Later. You're going to remember all of that. One of the greatest tortures in hell is going to be your memory. Your memory. Bible says in Proverbs that the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. You think you're smart? Think you got all the answers? Bible says the way of life is above to the wise. If you're not saved, you're not very wise. You're a fool. He may depart from hell beneath. Why? Why am I here? It's a needless place to go. You might have some places you need to go. You might have some things you want to do, but there's not one person in this building this morning that needs to go to hell. That's one need you don't have. You might need for God to kick the snot out of you so you get saved, but you don't need to go to hell. You might need to be laid up in a hospital, have a car wreck. You might need to fill your belly. I don't know what you need, but you don't need to go to hell. Don't need it. Then down in the last verses, he said, send him back to my brothers. I got five brothers. And that leads me to this. You ever get down? You ever get down sometimes? You're just weary and you're worn out. And Jezebel sent you a note. You're tired and you're weak. And you just get down there and all the birds and everything just comes down on you. And you call your friends and they're not home. You can't get a hold of your preacher. Your husband doesn't seem to understand, your wife doesn't understand, your kids don't care, and you just kind of, well, who the hell cares? Who the hell cares? Well, I've been placed in my life, I just said, who the hell cares? The psalmist said, oh, rather throw my right hand, no man can show me, let me fail. No man cares about me, but God. Amen. Who the hell cares? All oh, sound of God. Everyone. Here we be. You can't. You can't. I told another woman, you weren't here, I'm done to you. I just was sick and tired of people raise their hand in a prayer meeting. Pray for my son. That he be saved. And they won't lift a cotton picking finger to save somebody else's son.
Amen.
You care? You care your sons and daughters are going to hell? Your mothers and dads are going to hell? Your aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters? Do you care? Oh, I care, but I really care. You do? You weep over their souls. You open your mouth for Jesus Christ in your life? Do you open your mouth for Jesus Christ when you're not around? Do you live for the Lord day in and day out? Your prayers might not be hindered. Do you care? Do you care enough to witness on the job? I'm not talking about not giving your employer a full day of work. You get your coffee break once in a while. You got your lunch time. I'm talking about making a mess. You don't need to give your employer a full decent day of work. I'm not problem with a lot of Christians, maybe young Christians then, they live a testimony because they don't work. They don't give their fault. They want to do is throw their job and shoot off their mouth. You'd be a great testimony by working.
Amen.
Wait for the lunch break and the coffee break. You get your chance. You care? How much do you care? When's the last time you got on your knees and cried about some of your relatives' love?
When's the last time you spent more than 5 minutes in prayer for them? When's the last time you agonized your heart and bitterness of soul? Because they're going to die and go to hell. There are people burning in hell now that care more than you do. Rich man cares. Too late. There are going to be some of you sitting at the great white throne judgment as a spectator, or how it's going to work out, and you're going to sit there and you're going to want some loved ones bound hand and foot. Too late to cry. Too late for the burden. I've read and heard a story where a mother will get saved and never tell her kids because she's afraid to get back. A girl will get saved, never tell her brother, never tell her parents. Why? More concerned about what they think of this cup, more concerned about what they think of you than their soul burning in hell. Who cares? I care. I don't believe that. Care, you live with it. You walk with it. You talk with it. You care, you do something. I get hard and cold tonight. See, you do that. People are hard and cold easily. And I'm a hard and cold person. I just get hard and cold. But I care. I don't always care on the shit. You don't have to get your prayers about your family around the country like I do. You don't have to do that to show you care. There's a lot of other ways to show you care. That don't mean you care about me. But that's why we travel across the country. I don't travel across the century and be able to get this and get that. I travel across this country, back and forth with this heathenistic, idolatrous, God-forsaken nation, because there are people dying and going to hell. Turn your Bible to Matthew 25. Now, I know doctrinally we're not going to use this doctrine, but it'll work. We're going to apply Matthew 25 and look at verse 41. You got a Bible? Does it make any difference to you? Does it make any difference to you? If a soul dies in sin, God has called you to win. Does it make any difference to you? Will His blood be required at thy hand? Do you warn the lost as God's plan? Do you make plain the way? Do you work while it's day? Does it make any difference to you? If you're a child of God, you're a watchman. You're a watchman. What the Lord said there? Depart from me, you cursed, and everlasting fire is prepared for the devil. That brings me to the last step. Come on, Papa. Every man wants to tell his wife, every wife wants to tell his husband. When I worked out in the bars all those years and played the devil's music, the devil's crowd, and drank the devil's brew, and led souls to hell, I was told this more times than I could even count. And I told you. I just thought I was told you. I looked them in their face and I said, go to hell. Go to hell. I know you find people that are cool with them. I told them and told them. I've had people by the hundreds just tell me in a barn or getting drunk, go to hell! Go to hell! I'm here. Sure, I'm sure. You've had people tell you go to hell? There you are, you sit there. Let me tell you something. You stand and face God, an almighty, holy, sinless, perfect, just God. God says, go to hell. No if, no and, no buts about it, The hard, cold, I still want to stand for God. You don't have to like me, you say. That trust me. You know something? I do something. I preach this message before. And I'm going to take some time to do it today, because I want you to think about what I'm going to say. I'm going to do it because I'll tell you something. When I stand in the judgment seat, and I'm there at the great white throne of judgment, when I'm there and as I watch, I don't want somebody to point a finger in my face. You know! There'll be some people when I ran from God that I've led to hell, and I've never been back across their paths. I'll have to watch them be cast into hell as God does that. I got a finger stuck in my face.
All the time! You were out there playing that music and you knew! You were on that bowling team and you never told them!
I'm here this morning, but you're not going to tell me. I want you to go ahead. Go ahead. Just don't you go ahead. Mother, love me a whole pile of the rest on your head. Mother, I want you to go ahead. Thank you.
for my wife back there. I don't want her in hell. Try to go to hell. Son, don't you go to hell. Don't you try to go to hell. Brother, don't go to hell. You think about what I'm saying?
Farther down they go, the more that man Oh, don't you go there. Don't you go there.